morning and welcome to Issues and Ideas. I'm Guy Rathbun. I'm going to start the program with a disclaimer, and that is that it's sensitive subject matter, and that we ask you that you use your own discretion and for yourself and others on listening to the program. Because today's topic is sensitive in many ways. We're talking about male sensitivity. The book now available is called If It Works, Don't Fix It, What Every Man Should Know Before Having a Vasectomy. Kevin Hauber has written the book. He's been on the show before. Kevin, 5 years ago?
5 years.
August 12th.
August 12th, you know, of 1999. Yeah, etched in my brain.
Back then, you were just getting off the ground, literally, in starting this process, getting a web page going and all of the evidence that you'd collected on the medical procedure known as a vasectomy.
That's correct.
Vasectomy comes from the Latin term, literally, cutting in half, cleaving. Let's go more in depth with that, Kevin, from your own experience.
Well, from a let's start with a little bit of history. I think, like most people, I reached the point of midlife with several children and all of the things that go with an active family life, and my wife and I determined that that was enough, that our dance card was full, and that we needed to find a way to have some form of permanent contraception because her doctor was recommending that she stop taking the pill. And there were enough difficulties associated with her two pregnancies and certainly enough drama in the delivery of them that I got to be witness to that that I was willing to do my part in that regard, as many men are, to try and take care of that issue of the growing population both within the family and within the world. And I find that's a very common issue and a very common concern. Hmm. So after doing some research and being given some recommendations, we opted that I would have a vasectomy and proceeded with that. Found a doctor who claimed to be highly proficient at it and have done the procedure countless times and had that done. And then the fireworks started.
Mm-hmm. You did what most men do, and that is figure going into it that this is just a simple procedure, non-invasive. Well, it is invasive because it does mean the breaking of skin, but it is considered a very basic procedure, probably much easier and certainly faster in the recovery than, say, tonsillectomy.
You know, I really haven't compared to tonsillectomy, but save compared to something like a tubal ligation for a woman, mm-hmm. Yes, much less invasive and much simpler. And the problem with that is that because the procedure is deceptively simple, people think it has no ramifications. And mm-hmm. the fact of the matter is it does, because you're not only doing a procedure on a very sensitive part of the body, but you're causing a number of reactions to start that can be damaging.
It's an interesting discussion that we're going to have over the next hour. And to let you know, this is a live program, and Kevin is available at the station with answers to your questions, answers he may have already written about in his book, but certainly would like to hear your personal experience. Kevin Hauber, guest today on If It Works, Don't Fix It, What Every Man Should Know Before Having a Vasectomy. It's available in soft cover print from Infinity Press, and we'll give you more information on that during the program. Right now, 800-549-8855, toll free 1-800-549-8855. We'll repeat that number during the program. Kevin, your firsthand experience with this was you found out not a severe case, but certainly bad enough to motivate you to research it.
Well, just to bring everybody into the loop on this, during my vasectomy procedure, the simplest way to put it was that I was under anesthetized. So not only did I feel the procedure being done, but it caused significant damage to the nerves. that have left me with chronic pain ever since. And that's taken me in and out of the hospital several times and forced me to pursue more medical treatment than I ever thought would have been possible to this day. Hmm. And it actually took several years just to the point, get to the point where I could have a halfway normal day for several hours at a time. Now, you know, there are men who have ended up worse off, unfortunately. And then there are quite a few men who have a less severe case of post-vasectomy pain syndrome, which is what this particular situation is called. It's been quite a motivator.
And the first thing I would imagine you ran into is, excuse me, Kevin, but it's all in your head.
That gets said an awful lot. And it's a denial of some of the basic biology that's going on. You're taking one of the most prolific cell-creating functions in the body, and you're blocking it off. Hmm. And the claim is that there's no ramifications for that. There's no reactions. The truth of the matter is that there is, and the medical literature supports that. Now, some men don't really notice much difference at all for themselves. Other men, it's grueling. The reaction that, oh, it's just all in your head, is one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum that also tends to make patients go away is, well, we could try removing your testicles and see if that helps. And everything in between. And I've heard all of that. And so have many others.
And see if that helps. Let's experiment with Kevin while we're at it.
Yes.
Bill, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Great. I'm glad I can get on. I read the. First of all, I had a vasectomy 35 years ago, and it was one of the smartest things I ever did. And there was no problem at all, and I'm just so glad I did that. Anyway, 3 years ago in the New Times, he mentions that there was problems with 6 to 25% of the cases for vasectomies, and then that was corrected in a letter to the editor by a group of urologists. And the problems with vasectomies comes down to 0.05%, and I'm very sorry that Kevin is part of that 0.05%. I'm glad I wasn't part of that. But again, there's more problems with a pregnancy that's unwanted. So I think the male can do something here and get a vasectomy. It's a simple operation, and mine was very, very nice and enjoyable, and life thereafter was very great.
So, Kevin, do you care to respond to that?
Sure.
I saw your article. I did not see the letter written by the urologists.
Well, you know, the complications rate really depends on who you talk to. If you look at the medical literature that asks the doctors who perform the procedure, most of them never survey their patients and then claim incredibly low complications rates. When the surveys have been done of the patients themselves asking, did you have complications, different things start to show up, and you find 18%, 25%, 33% or more claiming that they had significant problems associated with their vasectomies. And the spectrum of that is quite wide, from, as you mentioned, not having any negative result at all, right up to ending up in the hospital and having serious infections and chronic pain. So the spectrum is quite wide. I was amazed once my situation became known how many of my friends and people that I knew started telling me about their negative situations that they experienced after their vasectomies, which they hadn't talked about with anybody else. And a lot of them hadn't even talked about it with their doctors. Two friends of mine who I knew before the vasectomy ended up losing testicles because of their vasectomies. One, because the doctor made a mistake and cut the artery instead of the vas, and another because of infection. There's another friend of mine that later started telling me that he gets shooting pains in his groin now because he had the procedure. Numerous others have told me that they had long-term pain following the procedure and never went to see their doctor, never wanted to talk to anyone about it, never did anything about it. And that's one of the big problems with this, is that the doctors say, well, we don't see it, and a lot of times they don't ask. And the other side of it is, a lot of times, the men don't do anything about it.
There are two things here, Kevin, I'd like to bring in. First of all, the situation very easily could be, and men I've talked to have experienced this, there's nothing can be done anyhow. Why should I bother going back? Or someone's going to think it's in my head. And secondly, men, as you point out in your book, are far less likely to discuss this issue.
Absolutely. And that's part of the problem. Women will talk about this kind of stuff all day long and try and help each other out. Men, it tends to be such viewed as a threat to masculinity that needs to change. And just the way that men are socialized, the likelihood of a man doing something about this, even if he is in agony, is quite low. And yeah. Once he has been shut down by a doctor or told that it's all in his head, he's not going to do anything at all in all likelihood. So the main thing that's exceptional about my case is that I continue to pursue it.
The other thing that I have run across in my reading, besides what you have here, Kevin, and Bill, I hope you're still with us on this. The other thing that I have run across, too, is that the procedure itself may be covered even up to 100% by your insurance company. Any post-procedures that arise from this will not be covered in all likelihood.
That's correct.
So that is a restriction facing most men who might otherwise look into the problems they're having, such as discomfort and pain in the groin. They're not going to go back to the doctor because, A, it's going to cost them a lot of money, and B, who's going to believe them?
Yeah. Well, the most common way to treat post-vasectomy pain syndrome that gets recommended by the doctors is a reversal of the vasectomy.
Mm-hmm.
My reversal procedure cost over $40,000.
Wow.
It was a 4.5-hour procedure, major surgery. I spent months recovering from it. It is something that most people just plainly will not contemplate. And, you know, Bill, I do want to back up on one point, though. You know, obviously, I feel that it's important enough for men to take responsibility in contraception to have had the vasectomy done myself. I think that's a very important thing that men share in that responsibility. And I also think it's a very important thing that we take care of our world and the other things that we can do by limiting our population growth. However, I have a very strong concern based on my experience and the research that I've done about the health aspects of surgical sterilization. And that's true for men and for women. I'm not saying don't practice contraception. By all means, yes. But my point based on what I have learned would be altering your body to do this poses some significant risks to your health.
I'd like to ask another question here.
Yes, Bill.
Based on that, okay?
Yes.
Okay. The burden of prevention of unwanted pregnancy is on the women. And I think males are certainly part of the pregnancy process.
Yeah.
And what can males do? I mean, my idea is, for me, the vasectomy thing was great. It was a simple operation. I was sore for a couple of weeks, but after that, no problems, nothing at all. But and the only other alternative at the time was condoms, and condoms are very good at preventing AIDS and pregnancy, but I never did like them. My question is, what can males do to prevent pregnancies besides abstinence and cold showers and that sort
exactly.
of thing?
Exactly. Well, sooner or later, that all gives way anyway. But the surprising thing that I learned along the way came from a doctor friend who himself experienced long-term pain after his vasectomy. And in an interview that I was doing with him, and this was later backed up by medical evidence that I saw, his claim was that Natural family planning, which is effectively a scientifically used and practiced form of the rhythm method, is the most effective birth control available, period. And more so even than surgical sterilization or any of the barrier methods. And I didn't believe that until I started doing the research on it. And there are actually a number of organizations that have promoted this and have good evidence for it. So aside from using condoms, which, you know, the common response is, I just don't like to use condoms, being able to alter a sexual practice is one way, and then natural family planning is highly effective, and it doesn't require any kind of surgical or hormonal changes in the body, which is the healthiest way to go.
Thank you very much for calling, Bill.
Right.
Great hearing from you today, and good question on that. Thanks. Deborah, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, certainly can. Thank you.
I'm calling in just to give a woman's perspective on this issue. And first of all, I'd like to say I'm very sorry to hear about Kevin's experience. However, after my husband and I had our two children and we decided that that was all the family we wanted, my husband said to me, you know, you've been the one that's had to take birth control pills. You've been the one who's had to deal with, you know, family planning and giving birth to our two children. I will now have a vasectomy so that I'll take my share of the responsibility in these matters. And for him, it was a relatively painless procedure. He's had no ill effects. And it's actually been wonderful for our sex life because we don't worry anymore about unwanted pregnancy.
Okay. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to say one point. Somebody mentioned something about altering your body and how vasectomy does this. But I feel from a woman's perspective that when we take birth control pills or use other methods, we are, in a sense, also altering our body.
Absolutely.
And taking some, you know, potential risks. I think now with the lower dose hormones, which I haven't taken for many years, it's perhaps safer. But back when I was taking birth control pills, there were some worrying side effects.
Well, there still are. If you look at the medical evidence that surrounds that, any kind of long-term hormonal changes in the body for men or for women will have risks and results.
Yes.
And that this is the problem that a lot of times this gets put into a context of men versus women on the issue. And I want to be really clear that that's not where I'm coming from at all, because I don't advocate that women do anything as far as surgical sterilization or taking the pill or anything, more so than men, because there's plenty of documented evidence that this is problematic for women too.
Yeah.
What I would encourage people to consider is that the long-term health of either partner can be affected dramatically. You can't predict it beforehand. Sometimes it comes out fine, sometimes it doesn't. And once the problem has started for the man or for the woman, it's awfully hard to undo. So is it better to try other ways of contraception that you both can practice? My answer would be yes. So I really would encourage everyone in their thinking to take it out of the context of this is a hot potato and we got to toss it back and forth between the partners. It's not that way. It's really a very mutual thing. And when you talk about the kind of decision that you made as a couple, my wife and I did the same thing. And I understand. But it's amazing how much evidence there is in the medical literature over the past three decades that says there are some significant problems associated with this that just aren't discussed. And that's the point of the book, is to bring that out in the open and say, now it's time that we start looking at other alternatives. And now it's time that we start watching out for our health.
Thank you very much, Deborah.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate your call. Deborah has a good point, and the other part of it is that any man who has gone through, as you have, Kevin, witnessing the birth of more than one child, it only takes one to know that the woman goes through a lot just
Absolutely.
To get through that pregnancy. And so being aware of that, any man is then going to turn and say, I'll get the vasectomy, because they know what most women have to go through that also isn't well discussed, that could use some more openness on it. Andrew, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me to join. And I also express my regrets to Kevin. I've had a successful vasectomy, and I'm happy about that. I think that we always have to weigh the different methods of contraception. That after my wife had been on birth control pills for quite a while, we decided it would be good for her to go off. Thought that the vasectomy would be safer and less complex than the tubal ligation. Condoms have a failure risk that's a lot greater than vasectomy. And even the natural childbirth contraception method, I guess the effectiveness depends upon the width of the window of abstaining. The wider the width of abstaining, the more effective natural childbirth is. But it is
and how consistent you are in using it.
And it can be effective in that regard. But back to the vasectomy a minute. When I did get my vasectomy 20-some-odd years ago, I did choose a doctor who had done hundreds of them without a problem, and it's difficult to conceive for me to conceive of someone who would cut the artery rather than the vas. That person had a great deal of experience. And that's important with any medical procedure, not just in the contraceptive area, but to have someone who's done your procedure, your operation, many, many, many times mm-hmm. successfully, and to research that.
Yeah, you know, I asked that particular question, and the doctor who did mine claimed to have done over 1,000 and claimed to have had no problems. And then I started talking to other men who I knew who had seen him and his partner in prior years, who did have problems. So, you know, what gets viewed as a long-term problem seems like that's open to interpretation. And there's no way to check if someone's claiming to have had a problem-free history as a provider. There's no way for you to check that because all of the records are sealed.
I do know that Planned Parenthood here has a good record of and does perform a fair number of vasectomies.
Yeah, they advertise for doing that on a regular basis, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you.
Appreciate hearing from you.
Bye.
Just before I took that call from Andrew, I felt that you had a response to something I was saying in reference to the pregnancy and going through the pregnancy, Kevin. Was there something there you wanted to add?
Well, yeah. In my wife's situation in both pregnancies, she ended up off her feet for a significant amount of time before the actual birth, and they were fairly risky pregnancies mm-hmm. and difficult deliveries, particularly in the first case. And if any man has not witnessed that, try to at some point, because it'll change your respect for womankind. Mm-hmm. I have no desire to duplicate that experience in my life. Despite the things that I've been through that are pretty grueling, I have tremendous respect for women who are willing to go through that process themselves to be able to give birth. It's it's a beautiful thing, but oh boy,
you don't choose to do it again.
Oh,
even as the observer.
Oh. No, it hurts to watch, let alone to experience. So.
In case you've just tuned in, the program is If It Works, Don't Fix It, What Every Man Should Know Before Having a Vasectomy. It's a book that's available from Infinity Press by Kevin Halber, and you're invited to participate with your phone calls at 800-549-8855. That's 549-8855. Hello, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Kevin, have you run across, or are you aware of a malady that could be related to this called spermatocele?
Yes, I had them myself.
Aha. I'm curious to know how many guys you have talked to over your experience or your website that feel that they have had complications from a spermatocele problem related to a vasectomy.
Well, let me just take a minute. We'll bring everybody into the playing field here and level it out as far as what a spermatocele is. When the vas is tied off, the body keeps making sperm, and that's to the tune of 100 million plus a day. So what happens is that everything back upstream from where the vas is tied off starts to back up, just like if you put a dam in a river. And that's from the vas back into what's called the epididymis, which is a very delicate structure on the back of the testicle into the testicle itself. So eventually what happens is that all of this congestion causes something called congestive epididymitis. And the medical literature says that every man who has a vasectomy will have congestive epididymitis. Now, is it something that's silent, or is it something that he feels in a big way? Depends on the guy and depends on how severe. But what starts to happen in particular with spermatoceles is that there is a sperm-filled cyst that forms inside of the epididymis, and it causes a lump that starts to push on the nerves and becomes very painful. That and a granuloma, which is a chronic inflammatory response typically in the vas, those are very, very common. And if you read the literature, you are likely to have one. Now, whether you can feel it or not, how big it is, whether it's painful or not, it just all depends on the individual. But according to the medical literature, when they do the biopsies and the other things to check this stuff out, you will have congestive epididymitis, and you in all likelihood will have one of these kinds of structures form because of the nature of what's being done. Many of the complaints that I hear about over the website are from men who experience what is diagnosed as either a granuloma, vasitis nodosa, or spermatocele, which are essentially the same kinds of chronic inflammatory responses because of the same kinds of processes, just in different parts of the system. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Well, that's a big statement, because after a vasectomy, my urologist told me that there was no... That doesn't happen. You don't get spermatocele from having a vasectomy. And a couple of years later, I had a spermatocele go septic and gangrenous, and had a real serious problem. Was sick for a month. Ended up having to have the testicle removed, and that was all there was to it.
Ouch.
So what we're talking about here is a huge denial or disclaimer from the surgeon says, oh, you can't get that from this.
Well, so, the medical literature, I can give you the Journal of Urology articles that says you can. So
I was lied to.
Well, there was either a lie or there was a lack of knowledge, and I find it hard to believe that someone who does the procedure on a regular basis and reads the literature wouldn't know that. But that is not uncommon to be told, oh, the effects that you're having, the pain that you're having, it has nothing to do with your vasectomy, even though you didn't have it before. I had spermatoceles form along with hydroceles, along with epididymitis after my vasectomy and reversals. I had to go through some pretty significant treatments to get those to go away. They are very, very difficult conditions to treat. Septic, for, you know, just to clarify for everybody, that means it became very infectious, and you say infectious to the point that it became gangrenous and had to be removed.
Right.
That's pretty ugly. Now, there have been
and they told me it was very, very rare.
There have been men who have died from that, and that's in the literature also. But again, how can you check? I mean, you know, if you want to know how good a Yugo car is, you know, do you go and ask the Yugo dealer, or do you go ask Consumer Reports, who are asking the people who drive it? You know, So you go to the doctors who perform the procedures, you know, do you have any problems with this? Oh, no, they're great. We do them all the time. And that's that really, for the most part, is our sole source of information, because most men won't talk about this stuff when they have problems.
Believe me, you'll talk about it to somebody when you're screaming in pain. I can't believe it's so hard to believe that men are still living in caves when that kind of pain is happening. Thank you very much. You did answer my questions, and I'll be looking at your website, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
You know, I appreciate it. One of the things that, just to tail on that a bit, more often than not, the first contact that I get over the website is from, not from the man, it's from the partner. And usually it's the woman writing to me saying, my husband is so sick and in so much pain, and he can't do anything now. What do I do? And even in that kind of a situation, I'm amazed at how often the man either can't or won't communicate about it, even with somebody that's had the same experience. Just astounds me. But that is so common, and I've received thousands of communications, and that there's a pattern in that. I don't understand it, but that's the way it is.
Kristen, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Hi, sweetheart. How are you doing?
Hi, Chrissy.
I wanted to tell you that I appreciate your support during my pregnancies. Those two totaled all of 18 months. However, we've been dealing what we're going through for over 5 years now. One of the things I wanted to say that you probably won't go out and tell people is that just last Tuesday, your website received 68,000 hits. That's thousands. These people are needing info. They're needing support. They're the wives that you talked about, the partners that are trying to get support and trying to get help, and they need to get their information. And one of the things that I wanted to say is that to advocate change in the world, you have to recognize that first we're going to see a lot of denial, which we're seeing. Then we're going to see people that are angry at us. And then maybe some slow acceptance to the fact that there really is this problem and there is some things that can be done to change it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen.
I appreciate it. And you're right. The website was something that I started because I thought it would be a good adjunct to the book. Mm-hmm. It's been the other way around. The book is it's a great tool for people who want to know about the issue, particularly if they're having any kind of negative results from their vasectomy. But the website has been the communication vehicle, and it literally gets thousands of hits a day.
And then there's the men that are brave enough to call you. I mean, you've gotten calls from all over the world.
Yes, I have. I've had emails and calls from Tasmania and Ireland and England and
good old Indiana.
And good old Indiana just last night, yeah. So it's amazing how widespread these kinds of issues are. And it's also amazing how few places there are and people to go to deal with it in a very straightforward manner, because there is so much denial around it. And that stuns me too, but it is the case. And a lot of times I'm having to recommend that people go halfway across the country to find a provider who is open and experienced enough in treating these post-vasectomy problems to do it right.
Well, one of the things that I have to point out is that of all the millions of places that we've gone to, well, we know it's not millions, but lots and lots of different doctors, and the first thing that happens when they walk in the room is I just turn them off when they say, oh, no problem, I can fix this. Because it is a problem, and it isn't that easy to fix. It's the doctors that come in and say, you know what, you're better prepared than I am. What have you found so far? How can I work with you? Those are the doctors that I really like hearing from, because I really feel that those are the ones that are willing to listen.
Yeah, I've found that medical care for me has become the partnership idea of going in and working with someone to try and come up with the best approach, because in most cases, medical care is scientific guesswork. Because there are so many unpredictable factors to the human body and between human bodies. And that's one of the reasons why I can't understand why this procedure gets painted with such a broad brush, in that, you know, it's kind of like everybody needs milk. Well, what if you're lactose intolerant? You know, there are lots of cases where doing changes to the body in particular individuals, one's going to have a dramatically different result than the other. And that's got to be taken into account. And the problem now is in the lack of predictability. There's no blood test. There's no scratch test. Nothing that can be done.
Thank you very much, Kristen. I appreciate hearing from you this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chrissy.
Bye-bye. Interesting. You mentioned everybody needs milk. The milk board came out with that, and they were informed by the medical profession that that's not true. Not everybody needs milk. And so that's why the saying became, milk has something for everybody. It may end up causing an allergic reaction, but it has something there for you, so be prepared. This may be the same thing with this. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Hi, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I'm just calling in from work. Kevin, I read part of your book, and I want to congratulate you. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I can. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, it's really great. I've only read part of it, but good job on it. So anyway, I wanted to mention that I'm another person that's had a vasectomy and ended up with pretty tragic results. As Kevin knows.
Yes. Fortunately, you were able to get yours turned around in time, though. You may talk about that a little bit. I'm not going to tell your story for you.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. Luckily, my results turned out really good in the end, but initially, I just wanted to mention that when I went in for my consultation in the beginning, before I had my vasectomy, nothing was mentioned about, you know, negative side effects of any kind, even though I specifically asked questions about that, so I felt like basically I was lied to. And then about 3 weeks after I had the procedure, I started to have pain, and when I went back to the doctor, you know, he examined me, and he just told me there was nothing wrong with me, even though I was standing there right in front of him telling him, you know, I was in a large amount of pain. And interestingly, there was no, like, bruising, bleeding, or swelling, or anything like that. You know, the procedure went the way it was supposed to, but I ended up with the post-vasectomy pain syndrome.
And you ended up having to go out of the area to have that reversed.
Yeah, I ended up spending almost $10,000 to have the procedure reversed. And, I mean, it was incredibly painful. I mean, I was missing work. I'd end up on the floor, you know, at times crying from how much pain I was in. I couldn't believe it. And then to have my doctor, you know, just ignore the situation completely and tell me I was just stressed out was something I, you know, never could have imagined.
If I recall correctly, Dave, you ended up getting a recommendation for a doctor to see to correct the problem from an emergency room visit. Wasn't that it?
Yeah, my call's breaking up a little bit. I'm on my cell phone, but I think you're talking about I ended up in the emergency room at Sierra Vista. I was in so much pain, and my doctor wouldn't help me out, so I ended up checking into the emergency room, and they told me that they see this from time to time, that there was nothing they could do about it, so they sent me down to UCLA, where I had a specialist just do 2 hours of microsurgery and, you know, basically reverse the vasectomy, and that totally solved the problem. I felt, after about a year, I felt back to normal again.
Dave, was the reversal covered by your insurance?
Insurance, I had a little glitch in the insurance. I had a lapse in coverage rate at that time.
Hmm.
And it was just like a paperwork mistake. And so I ended up paying cash for the whole thing. But, I mean, I was in so much pain, you know, I couldn't have lived, you know, with that kind of pain. So any amount of money would have been worth it to have it reversed and to end up okay again in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing more important than health. So, you know, I'm lucky I'm back at work and feeling good again. So,
yeah, now, you know, Dave's is a case where being able to do a reversal in the short run was a cure. And in my case, doing a reversal took away some of the problems, but not all of it by any means, and the nerve damage that was sustained is still something that afflicts me to this day. So even doing these expensive surgeries and taking all of the risks associated with them is no guarantee of a cure. And so I try and counsel anyone who's asking me what did I do, what would I recommend, who do I talk to, all those kinds of questions. I try and let them know that there's really nothing easy about this and there's no quick fix. It's not like, you have a problem and, we'll just, take a pill and take care of this. It doesn't work that way. I mean, we've heard from a couple of men already who have told their stories of how grueling it can be and the long-term results. Now, the man who called in, who ended up with the gangrenous testicle that had to be removed, haven't talked to him before, but that's obviously another person locally that's had that kind of a result.
Thanks so much for calling, Dave. I appreciate hearing from you.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call, and congratulations again on the book, Kevin. It's really awesome. I recommend it to anybody, especially someone who's interested in getting a vasectomy, just because, the doctors aren't going to let you know the whole story beforehand because they're just, they're looking for a paycheck. So, and, health's pretty important, so I recommend the book. And
okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks so much, Dave. If It Works, Don't Fix It, the title of the book, subtitled What Every Man Should Know Before Having a Vasectomy, authored by Kevin Halber, with a foreword by one of the physicians with whom you worked over the years, and another introduction by another doctor who also appreciated the research you had done with this. And would you like to discuss their input?
Sure. There have been three doctors, actually, that have made contributions directly to the book already. Mm-hmm. Dr. Diane Stern is one who was my internist at the time, and she had given some commentary about the book for me to be able to rely on very kindly. And then Dr. Lou Zaninovich is a male health specialist who has, through his research, found that vasectomies are quite problematic, wrote his own book on the subject, and it's called Vasectomy Before and After, credits that my contacting him and telling of my story was what finally forced him to finish his book, and were actually published by the same publishing company. And then Dr. Neil Pollack is a vasectomy specialist in Canada who has an extensive experience in treating post-vasectomy pain syndrome and the other problems associated with vasectomy. The only problem with that, of course, is that it's hard for Americans to get to see him. But every time a Canadian calls me, I try and get him over to Neil Pollack, because both his expertise and his website is probably one of the most informative, medically oriented sites that I have found. It's not about selling the procedure. It's about giving real accurate information, which is terrific. And that's exactly what I would like to see come out of this. And it's not... I think a lot of people think that I'm doctor bashing in what I'm doing, and really I'm not, because I find that most doctors don't even know about this stuff. And so a lot of times I talk to people who have been to their primary care physician or someone else, or an emergency room or whatever it might be, and the doctor shrugging his shoulders saying, I don't know what to make of this, because they've never heard of it, because it is such a hush-hush thing. And then it... for some reason, within the trades where the procedure is done regularly, nobody wants to talk about it. Mm. It gets into the literature once in a while, but the information doesn't seem to make its way to the rest of the medical community or to the patients where it really needs to be, and both beforehand and afterwards when the problem starts. And that's what needs to change. Frankly, if I had had this kind of information beforehand, I would have opted for us to continue with another form of birth control because we were doing so successfully, my wife and I. But I didn't have the chance. Hmm. And that's the decision that people need to be able to make, and it's called informed consent in the legal circles, and it has a lot of ramifications.
549-8855. That's toll-free, 1-800-549-8855. You're listening to Issues and Ideas with Kevin Hauber, whose book, If It Works, Don't Fix It, is available from Infinity Press. Kevin, you also have a webpage, and you mentioned a couple of others. Dr. Pollack has a webpage, probably with Dr. Zaninovich. Is that right? He would also have a webpage and a book available. So if you have that information.
Yeah, the website for my book and the forums and such is www.don'tfixit.org. Mm-hmm. Neil Pollack's is pollackclinics.com. There's another doctor in Arizona that specializes in post-vasectomy pain that is actually postvasectomypain.com. And I'll have to look up Luzaninovich's website, but his book is available through buybooksontheweb.com.
Okay.
And that's called Vasectomy Before and After.
All right. Also, you have a tremendous reference section in the back of your book. Everything that you have come across in your research and others who have recommended material to you.
Yes.
So it's extensive, and books, titles, publications are available via that information as well. 549-8855, toll-free 1-800-549-8855. Kevin, we began the program discussing how it's so easy to brush it off, and most men won't even go to the process of going back to their urologist and saying, I have a problem. What was your initial reaction when you first, I heard Kristen, your wife, indicate that no problem was what we can get it reversed. But when you were first going back to your urologist, were you given the impression at any time that he or she felt like it was all in your head?
If that was what the doctor was thinking, he didn't say so. He didn't seem to take me seriously, though, until I ended up in the hospital with bleeding intestines about a month after the procedure. Up till that point, it was, well, let's try this medication and that medication and that. And my body didn't do well with that.
And then you eventually had a test that showed the extent of the pain, which is shown in your book, the results of that test.
Yes. There's a form of MRI that's available now that's called neurography, and effectively it is an MRI of the nervous system. And it can help to demonstrate what parts of a body and what parts of a nervous system are distressed. And frankly, I was surprised to see that myself because I knew what hurt, but I didn't know anybody ever could ever make pictures of it in that way. Mm-hmm. But the one of the things that you run into, like what Dave mentioned, is that, you know, a doctor does an examination and externally says, well, gee, there's nothing wrong with you. And the problem is that the stuff is going on the inside, and things are rupturing and inflaming and all kinds of things going on that are very much an internal process that's highly destructive to the body and causing a lot of pain because of that. And that is not able to be diagnosed from the outside most of the time, unless there's some very overt symptom like significant swelling or infection or something of that sort.
Mariah, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
All right. Kevin, first of all, I'm calling to thank you for the courage to come public with this, and for the courage of your wife, too, who has been a brave woman throughout all this.
Thank you,
Mom. I feel as though you're a role model for other men to begin talking to each other about male sexuality. My husband has been on, it enhances his sexual desire. I forget what you call it now. Oh, dear. Well, anyhow. But I've said, well, why don't you tell other men about this? Because it could be wonderful for them, too. Testosterone. That's what he said.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And for 10 years he's been on this.
Mm-hmm.
And so So I'm hoping that your book will encourage men to talk about their sexuality.
Thank you.
I read in this morning's New Times the quite lengthy article about you, and I just, again, want to thank you for publicizing this.
Thank you, Mariah. I really appreciate that feedback, and that's one of the things that that I'm really aiming for with what I'm doing with the book and the website. It's there are so many aspects of the issues that surround this that have histories of you know, shame and any number of negative things associated with them that just need to be dispelled and brought out in the light of day. Because we all get given these bodies to live in while we're on this earth, and we need to take care of them as best as we can so that we can help each other out. And that's what we need to do. And I can't have had an experience like I have and not share it with others and try and help those who need it. That's just where I'm at in life. But I know that it's very difficult for most people to share this kinds of stuff. It's most difficult for men, mm-hmm. because of the sexuality-oriented issues where it would be threatening, somehow being viewed as less of a man because there's some kind of problem going on. Well, you know, guys, sooner or later, something's going to go awry, and that's just the fact of life. But we need to look these things straight in the eye and be honest about them and work with them as best as we can. And the more that we share information with each other and the truth of our experience, the better off we're all going to be.
That's right. And you're more of a man for speaking up, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mariah.
You're welcome.
It's very interesting. I couldn't help but think of my niece, who is pregnant, soon to give birth, and she has a book in her possession that is things you should know about childbirth that even your friends won't tell you. That's that's the title of the book.
Everything and, you want to know about childbirth, what we're afraid to ask.
Yeah, that's right. And she is startled by all of this. But what's interesting is she's found that people are willing and interested and there to talk about it. Other women want to share these things. But most men will not. And it's fascinating how even if it's 1 in 10 who are going through difficulties with this, or even 1 in 20 is what one of the figures was suggested earlier. If it's 1 in 20, that one needs to know the potential of their surgical procedure.
Well, especially when you multiply it by millions of procedures done a year, that's a lot of sorrow and a lot of pain. Those kinds of things, we need better treatments for this. And if the procedure is going to continue to be done, there's got to be a way to do it that's less harmful to the body and has less risk associated with it. Or we need to be doing something else.
About the writing of the book, Kevin, as I just found out, you had a lot of sleepless nights. I'm not surprised, but I hadn't thought of that. And you set up those nights and made use of your time.
Well, I had to. Anybody who's lived with a chronic condition knows that there's a lot of emotion that goes along with that, and a lot of that emotion is anger and frustration. And I reached a point where I was not going to thrash around in bed trying to go to sleep anymore. And I would get up in the night whenever I awoke in pain that wouldn't let me go back to sleep. And I sat down and started doing research on the internet and started writing. And it was very cathartic for me. I also started communicating then with others who were experiencing the same thing. And that source of information was a lot of what the book is based on. Because there's nothing like someone who can empathize with your situation to be able to really help you figure out where to go with it. And that's one of the best parts of this whole thing is that, you know, we're just starting to crack the door open on it. But it's a long road.
If it works, don't fix it. What Every Man Should Know Before Having a Vasectomy by Kevin Hauber. That's H-A-U-B-E-R. It's available through Infinity Press. And Kevin, any last thoughts? We have a couple of minutes.
Well, as far as the book availability goes, I have it in a couple of the local bookstores, Volumes of Pleasure, which would be a fairly ironic place to have it. In Los Osos has several copies on hand, Barnes & Noble here in town, and the Novel Experience on Higuera Street downtown all have it locally. Other than that, you can visit the website at www.don'tfixit.org. If you wanted to order the book there, you can do that directly from the publisher. One of the things that was important to me in putting this book out was to make it available to people both as an affordable and readable format, which I tried to do and keep as much humor in it as possible, and much more humor than we've been able to get into today. I wanted that. I also wanted it available quickly, because typically people who need information about this, they need it soon. And so print on demand is one of the things that computers have allowed us to do in this day and age, and this particular publisher is set up to do that, and I find that very advantageous. And when they have all of the ebook stuff worked out where somebody can download it, it'll go that way too.
Right now it's under $20.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to price it to where it was affordable to people. And if somebody's been dealing with something like this for months and months, they probably had all of their money sapped anyway. So I can't tell you how many copies of the manuscript or a disc I've sent out in the mail and just said, here, take the information, find what you need, tell me what references you need, and, you know, let's try and help each other out.
Yeah. Kevin, I appreciate your time today and the work you've done. Thank you very much for sharing this. Obviously, serious subject. We didn't get into the humor, and laced throughout are the graphics that you put together in those sleepless nights, which I have to tell you, and it's humorous in this respect. As I was reading your book, I was feeling uncomfortable.
Yep.
Mentally, physically. And then I ran into a chapter that you start off saying just that. If you think it's uncomfortable writing about this, try living it. And you have done so. Thank you, Kevin, once again.
Thanks, Guy. I really appreciate you having me on the show and having a chance to share this. And to all of the people who called in, thank you for your courage to do so.
If it works, don't fix it. What Every Man Should Know Before Having a Vasectomy. Kevin Hauber, Infinity Press. Thank you again. Thanks to Hank Hadley for engineering today's broadcast. I'm Guy Rothbun.